KDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. More than a quarter of a million people attending the funeral of Pope Francis today in St. Peter's Square. The majority of pilgrims who traveled to the Vatican to pay their respects, along with dignitaries. ABC's Terry Moran is at the Vatican with more.
Leaders came from around the world paying their last respects to the Pope, including President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, former President Joe Biden and former First Lady Jill, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, and Prince William. Pallbearers carried Francis's coffin out of St. Peter's Basilica and into the square where the funeral mass was held. His casket was placed under the balcony where he first appeared as Pope 12 years ago, the gospel laid out on top of his coffin.
Francis broke with tradition, choosing to be buried outside the Vatican, his final resting place, the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Rome. Cardinals now expected to convene in the days to come to begin the process of choosing a new pope. This is ABC News. In Iran, at least four people are dead, and Iranian officials say more than 500 injured after a massive explosion at a southern port, reportedly linked to a shipment of chemical ingredients that's used to make missiles. It comes as the latest round of high-level talks between Iran and the U.S. wrapped up today in Oman. And if you're traveling anytime soon, even domestically, a deadline is coming fast for real ID. After several delays, the extra identification rules beyond a normal driver's license take effect May 7th. Katie Nastro is with the travel site Going and says most people who cannot get in for an appointment yet may have other options.
TSA stated that 81% of people have an acceptable form of real ID. That doesn't necessarily mean that every 81% has a real ID, but they do have an acceptable form, and you might even have one and not know it.
A passport, federal and military IDs, along with global entry cards are all acceptable IDs beyond a driver's license. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
It's your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest of the Black Convergence Show. And I'm inviting you to the Black Brilliance Gala, hosted by Urban Triage on Saturday, May 31st at the Overture Center for the Arts. Join us for an elegant night celebrating unsung heroes. For ticket information and to learn about sponsorship opportunities, please visit us at urbantriage.org. That's urbantriage.org.
April is Global Volunteer Month. Wisconsin's volunteers are transforming our communities every day through their acts of service. Wondering how you can give back? Find the perfect volunteer opportunities at volunteerwisconsin.org or contact your local United Way or Volunteer Center. On volunteerwisconsin.org, you can filter opportunities by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more to find your best fit. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin's export economy was already turbulent, and now tariffs could send it into a tailspin. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Businesses and farmers across the state rely on exports, and some of the biggest categories are industrial, electrical, and agriculture. But the value of those exports overseas has dropped in the last 10 years, according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum report. The state has gone from the 19th top exporting state to 21st. Tyler Burns with the forum says the cause is difficult to pinpoint, but factors like labor costs, consumer tastes, and workforce changes all play a role.
Wisconsin is one of the most dependent states on agriculture and manufacturing jobs. And so any disruption to our access to international markets puts a lot of people at risk.
Burns adds U.S. tariffs triggering retaliatory actions could make Wisconsin goods more expensive, potentially causing consumers to seek alternatives. The report looks at state-produced goods, where they're produced, and which countries buy them. Milwaukee exports the most goods, with total exports last year valued at $9.7 billion. That's down nearly 20% from a decade ago. But Burns says this mirrors drops seen in other industrial cities. Last year, Canada, the European Union, Mexico, and China were the top buyers of Wisconsin-made products, accounting for about two-thirds of all the state's exports, according to the report. And the U.S. has imposed tariffs on all of them. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and a high near 61. Clear tonight, 36. Partly sunny with highs in the mid-60s on Sunday. Chance of showers Sunday night, 51. Showers and storms Monday with a high near 77. Showers and storms Monday night, some could be on the strong side.
It's 48 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me in the guest host seat. We dig into Judge Hannah Dugan's arrest. What is going on here?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Black Convergence on WMDX. Due to scheduling conflicts this week, Brandy was unable to record a new episode, so let's revisit one of our recent favorites from March. You cannot pour from an empty cup.
I definitely get it from my mama, okay? Y'all see it. Well, maybe you don't see it if you're just listening, but people on Facebook see it and YouTube see it. So make sure you guys follow us on YouTube and on Facebook, any social media platform. Civic Media, you can find the Black Conversion Show recordings because y'all know y'all love me that much. But for my regular listeners, and my newbies, it is my birthday. It's my birthday all month of March. My official birthday is March 7th. And let me tell you, we had a time. A time was had. Luke didn't show up talking about he needed to be in bed by 9.
I didn't get the actual official invite.
Oh,
either.
I didn't even know where to, I'm sorry.
I didn't even know where to go to show up. So, yes, I it was a little late for my taste, Brandy. But to be fair, I didn't know where the party was
but
being held.
But to be fair, Luke didn't text me either. Luke was like, please don't text me
that's
the address. Because then that makes me obligated. So I'm not going to say nothing, okay? But a time was had. I had a private, quote unquote, private birthday party at a friend of mine's house in Monona off the lake. And let me tell you, we blacked out Monona. I know her neighbors were complaining because this is something about Black people. And just for my white listeners and my other allies and co-conspirators, do not repeat what I say because it's not, you can't say what I say, okay? Get you a Black translator because there's times where I have to get me a white translator, you know, that's just how the world work sometimes. But anyway, what I was going to say is people known as Black, we love loud music. Okay. We love, it's in our energy. It's in our bodies. So let me just tell you, Black folks pulled up to the Monona area, and these are big houses off the lake. We got judges to the left. We got, attorneys, doctors to the right. And it's never been as many Black people on their block. So they were a little terrified, okay? And when we pull up, music is blasting. You know, we laugh, and we outside. When we outside, we outside. So they immediately got complaints. But let me just acknowledge that this particular friend throws parties all the time. It's her thing. It's her thing, but not this kind of party, okay? Not the Brandy Grayson party. She throws a lot of raves, a lot of rave music, little techno music, and of course I go to her parties. But our party, of course, it was a lot of hip hop, a lot of Glorilla, some slides. You know how we do Tamir Slide because we need to get it in, and then you know we have to start the music, stop the music as we make announcements and talk crap and hype up the crowd, even though it was a house party because that's just what we do. So it was a good time. I am a fresh 45 years old. I'm feeling good. I am very grateful for my friends, for my community, and for the people that love me. So I just want y'all to know if you want to send me birthday love, you can. I don't know my Cash App. I don't know why I don't know my Cash App, but I don't know it.
You just got to search your name, Brandy Grayson.
I'm going to send it to Luke. He's going to drop it on the comments on the video.
There we go. Or I can add it to the podcast, too.
Okay,
go
period.
Check out the podcast.
Okay, yeah, check out the podcast. Donate to Brandy. It's her birthday. Bless me with $5, $10, or something like that. But a time was had. Can I just say, though, there were people at my party that I did not invite because it wasn't my friend's house, right? And you want to respect people home. So I was very selective on who I invited, but apparently not selective enough. So I want to say to my friends, Catherine and Gil, I'm sorry. That's all I'm going to say. I'm sorry. we, you know, it was just like people start showing up. So then, and mind you guys, and this is not me, I don't know, supporting alcohol, but I was drunk, okay? And I told y'all when I drink, I love tequila. So I was out of it. But as soon as I got notified that people were in the house that wasn't supposed to, I just shut it down and said, everybody got to go. And I don't think Catherine was used to that either, because I was like, everybody get the F out. It's time to go. You know, Catherine's just like, what the heck is this? So anyway, shout out to everybody that showed up. A time was had. I'll be dropping some photos on Facebook. I have not done that yet because my phone, I literally lost my phone. And the phone that I have now is my son's. And I can't actually access everything like I want on my current, you know, borrowed phone. So you guys check me out on Facebook. Follow me. Hopefully I get it replaced by tomorrow. But let me tell you, I lost my phone. It was the time. It was the time, y'all. Okay. 45 ain't never looked so fine. Y'all know black don't crack unless you on crack. Okay. And my white people don't ever say that out loud. Just again, you'll need a black translator for that. And it's okay if you, my friend, just call me, I'll translate what that means for you. Okay, amen. So, I am so happy to be back on air again. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM. And the point of our show is really politics and tea. So, it could go anywhere at any time. It could be inspiring, it could be transformative, it could be a little aggressive, and it could be like this is some BS, and it could be anything. So today I want to start with acknowledging black love and love and relationships and this dynamic that I'm often bringing up between feminism, masculinity, or whatever you want to call it, masculine energy, feminine energy. Again, it's not relative to your gender. It's just what it is. Some people are more masculine than others, and some people are more feminine. But I have this clip about relationships. It's like 3 minutes long, but it was so powerful and so like thought provoking that I want to play the whole clip. So let's get started on that, Luke. And it's about relationships and really like how, what women bring to the table and what that means when someone says women bring something to the table. Go ahead, Luke. Let's play it.
A man saying, yo, what do you bring to the table?
Let me have this. Men, y'all probably really just don't know exactly what a woman brings. Get your pens and paper. Let's talk about the purpose of a table. I'm talking to you, sit love, with all the beautiful hair.
You said, what do you need a table for?
Right. Like, sit down and eat at it, right? You gather at this table. Let's say I'm your woman, hypothetically. Everyone sitting at this table, either one came in me or came out of me. We can agree on that?
Look like, what?
I'm the purpose for even having the table. Everybody at this table is nurtured, cared for, looked after by me. If I deem you worthy enough to even extend your legacy, which means give you children, consider that an honor and a privilege, because parts of me have to die to give you life. There are things in my body that will never be the same after bearing children for you. And you're telling me the least, at the very least, you don't want to take care of me?
Nah, I can't.
All right, cool.
Because without me, yeah, I mean, it could be no family. A family is a family. Like, yeah, so if you rent it, you need 3 times the rent. It's a teamwork thing. Because if I lack of, you supposed to be able to, all right, well, here, this and that. If I'm struggling, all right, if I can't get it, all right, I'm going to need you to get that. It's nothing wrong with that. Like, so
it's something wrong with that, baby. It's something. In order for any family to sustain, there has to be balance. You're talking about this 50-50 stuff as if it really exists. If I have to get out of my bed to work 8 hours, 8, 9, 10, 12 hours, which I do right now, and then I have to still come home and I still have to tend to the children, I have to take care of the home, I have to give you sex, I have to stroke your ego, and I have to restore you from all that you've been through throughout the day, what am I left with for myself? You would never be able to outwork a good woman. You should find a capable woman, but you do not want a working woman.
Like
when
that.
The chips are down, yes, baby, I am capable of rolling up my sleeves and doing what we got to do to get back on our feet, with the notion that once you are stable, you are going to relieve me of that duty because it is not my job. But if I got to get out of my bed and go work for a man, guess what I'm doing? Guess what I'm doing? I'm excuse my language. I'm 2 men because I have to get out of my bed and go appease one at work, do what he tells me to do, follow his orders, get the whatever, and then you want me to come home and then appease you? Oh, and then take care of the kids. Oh, then cook and clean. Oh, then you want some sex.
Oh my God.
You want all that on me for the sake of making it easier on you? If I'm willing to roll back my sleeves and work two jobs, which I'm doing right now, what you think I'm expect you to do? You better be willing to work four. You better be willing to take off your shirt.
That's hard.
If I roll up a sleeve, you better be willing to take off your shirt for me.
Yeah, that was everything to me. Also, again, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. So what you just heard was a clip of a conversation a woman was having on social media with two guys. And the question was that they proposed is, what do you bring to the table? What do women bring to the table? And she just schooled them, right? And part of what she was saying is folks need to understand that there needs to be a balance within the household. Again, this isn't gender specific, right? She's basically saying, if what do I bring to the table? Anybody that's sitting at that table is either, pardon my language, this is her words, came in me or came out of me. And then everyone that's at that table is being nurtured and taken care of by her. And again, this is really based on heteronormative standards, but this type of attributes and characteristics or relationship dynamic plays out in most relationships, regardless of how you define it or how you identify it. And then she says, at that table, everyone at that table is nurtured by her, the children, the man, whoever. And part of when women give life, and I don't know if all men or all people understand, when we actually give life, we carry children in our womb, parts of us die. Like, and the older you get, the more parts die. So let's get clear on that. So my young women, have babies in your 20s. That's all I'm going to say. My youngest baby I had at the age of 36, y'all, and all parts of me died. Like, I got tendinitis, I got arthritis. My son literally sucked all the calcium out of my body. So I have I just have all kind of joint issues after him. So I had to be very intentional. I had to go to chiropractor. I had to do some physical therapy. My pregnancy was called, what do you call that when you are old and have a pregnancy?
I think I know the word.
Say it, Luke. You can do it. It's a safe space.
Is geriatric?
Yes, it's geriatric. Okay.
I was like, I don't know if this is the
So at the age of 36, they said this is a geriatric pregnancy, which means you're old, right? And you're having a baby. So you have to take all these additional tests. They do all these things before you're like 8 or 10 weeks pregnant. So that was my pregnancy. But he literally, and I breastfed him after he was born. I breastfed him for 2 years. And I recommend that for all children, if you're able to, simply because the antibiotics created by the mother's milk is more powerful than any vaccine, any medicine you can give your baby. That milk is everything. Literally, the power of breast milk. So as soon as the nipple goes in the baby's mouth, it has this exchange of chemicals. So your breast is notified through the mouth of the baby what's needed, whether it's vitamin A, D, B, if there's a virus or something or anything that is fighting off, your breast milk creates the antibodies and the antivirus. It's absolutely amazing. So when we return, I want to continue to talk about what women bring to the table. And then I want to have the conversation, as always, about the role of femininity and masculinity, because for people known as Black, it's a really delicate conversation, because in the world where we are not allowed or have the resources or privileges, let's just talk about it a little more, because this was deep, okay? And remember, it is still my birthday. You're listening to Brandi Grayson on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. You want to stay tuned, because we're going to get deeper in this conversation. We're going to talk about DEI. We're going to talk about all the words that's now banned from the federal government. We're going to talk about the stock market crash. We're going to talk about how white people used to lynch Black people and eat them. So yeah, politics and tea. Stay tuned here on 92.7 FM.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Okay, raise your hand if you want to make your life a little bit easier. Great. Now raise your other hand if you like to be comfortable. Perfect. Now that you have both hands raised, imagine putting on your shoes. And that, folks, right there is your answer to an easier, more comfortable life. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. This is footwear you don't need your hands to put on. They can be raised in the air, and you can just step it and go. Why don't you experience what people can't stop talking about? Life-changing Skechers Slip-ins. Get your Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Everybody wants the same thing from their mattress. A good night's rest, am I right?
You need someone to listen to what you want and who knows the materials that will get you there. At Verlo, we're your friendly neighborhood mattress genius. American made, locally crafted. Welcome to Verlo.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Black Convergence on WMDX. Due to scheduling conflicts this week, Brandy was unable to record a new episode. So let's revisit one of our recent favorites from March. You cannot pour from an empty cup.
WMDX with your hostess with the mostest, Brandy Grayson. Yes, you are listening in Madison, Wisconsin, and maybe some Dane County areas. So thank you for being a listener of the show. And before we went on break, I was talking about, we had listened to this clip and this young lady described what, as a woman, you bring to the table, which I often things gets lost in translation as we try to redefine roles, because in modern times things have changed, and with women movements and feminism and all that stuff, things have changed. So let me give you a quick summary of some things that she said if you missed it or you're just tuning in to the Black Convergence show. She basically said parts of women have to die, that everyone at the table either came in her or came out of her. She nurtures everyone that's at the table, and she also says that balance is required within a relationship for a healthy family dynamic. And if she is working 8 to 10 hours a day like her husband, and she's still expected to come home, nurture the children, clean the house, do laundry, cook, and make sure everybody has their meals, make sure kids get to their appointments, make sure, you know, PTA meetings, sports, all that, make sure her husband ego is stroked, because anybody who date men or folks who identify as men, you know it's important to stroke your man's ego. A lot of us don't like doing it. We don't want to do it, but that's just the dynamic. And if I'm Luke, am I wrong? Do you need your ego stroke sometimes?
From time to time, yeah. But I'm not a huge, like, egotistical person.
Person,
I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of fulfillment through I think other ways.
Yeah.
Like I don't need somebody to toot my horn.
Okay.
And what sometimes kind of, when ahead. That happens, I get really uncomfortable. So I don't know if that's just like a me thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I could see that, because I get uncomfortable when people compliment me. It just feels really weird. Like, whatever. And then I change the subject. So when you say you get fulfillment from other things, what are you referring to?
Like, I know that my worth doesn't, like, I don't need somebody telling me that I don't need somebody blowing smoke up my rear end or anything like that, or just praising me with compliments. I like to see, I think one of my love languages is like actions and deeds.
Like service, so, acts of service.
Yes. And so
that's my love language too.
So I don't need you to tell me, like, it's more of, I need you to
just show me.
Yeah.
I'm a show me woman too. Don't tell me. Words are so, like, whatever. But one of the things she said, as women, that we have to appease our men, we have to appease the people we work. So if I'm in the world working, I have to navigate through that workspace, appease them, walk on eggshells, do whatever you do, because you know in the world you're wearing a veil. You can't even be who you are unapologetically most times in the world, especially the workspace, right? Then I got to come home, do all the work, and then appease you, and sometimes stroke your ego and take care of the kids, and then have sex with you whether I'm tired or not, because quote unquote that's my responsibility as a woman. And then you still want me to pay 50-50 bills so that you can feel supported as a man and feel good. Like, who, basically what I translated her, what I heard from her, is who pours into me, if that's the dynamic, right? And I think that's a dynamic of too many Black women, too many. And it's not actually the expectation of other women that's outside of the race of Black. And I know that's hard for people to digest and understand, but in the context of white supremacy, racism, women known as Black, who identify as Black, or self-identify, or other people identify them as Black, it doesn't matter your nationality or whatever, if you're identified as Black, it's all automatically seen as if you're undeserving. And today we're going to talk about why Black people are seen as undeserving, and why we are always kind of just supposed to in politics. Why are we always brought up? Why are we always the measuring stick for whether something should happen or not? But I want to, we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later in our next, when we return from break. But right now, I want to continue the conversation about what women bring to the table. So part of it is that it's not in our culture, in the culture of white supremacy, Black women aren't seen as being soft or feminine enough or worth being taken care of. And the thing that I would love, and I've never experienced this in my life, so I'm kind of speaking from a utopia dream of mine, right? But the thing that I would have loved to experience as a mother is the ability to stay home with my kids and really give them what they needed and pour into them, because it takes so much to pour into your children. And our children actually require way more than our society is designed to actually give to them. And then we turn around and we say, what's wrong with those children? What's wrong with them? They needed more parental, and it's the parents' fault. But is it always the parents' fault if you don't have the resources or the opportunity to pour into your children? So, for example, when my first child was born when I was 13, my second child was born when I was 19, and my third child was born when I was 36. So, yes, I had some gaps in between my children. And again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, hostess with the mostest. And we're just talking about the roles of feminism and females and mothers. It is Woman History Month, okay? So why wouldn't we be talking about this? So just to remind you where we're at. We're in March, my birthday, Woman History. I'm Black. So we're talking about this today. So one of the things that I would have loved to experience is the ability to be home with my kids. When my son was born at 36 years old, I was forced to stay home with him because I couldn't find a job. Being the antagonizer, the activist in Madison and doing a lot of the grassroots organizing, once YWCA of Madison fired me for racism, they fired me for being racist, which is weird. Basically, they said that I was too Black. Like I was, we started doing more cultural specific activities. I started getting books for our clients that was specifically about being Black and navigating spaces, which I now do. I'm very unapologetically with Urban Triage without those restrictions, but they fired me for that. Either that's what, you know, what that was the excuse that they used, but either way, back to what I'm saying. So I got fired. I couldn't find a job. So I was forced to be at home with my son. I got fired when I was 7 months pregnant. And then I couldn't find a job. I was interviewing for jobs after I had Messiah. Folks wouldn't hire me because I was considered the angry Black woman, no matter what the job was, whether it was with Black people, they just didn't mess with me. So I was forced to be home, but it was the most, I don't know what to call it. It was the most satisfying experience of my life as a mother. It was the first time in my life that I got to sit down with my child. So every day he woke up with me. Every day I got to make him breakfast. Every day I got to make him lunch. Every day I got to read with him. We got to do his ABCs. We got to do sight words. We got to go play in the park. He got to go and do everything with me. There was no daycare. There was no childcare. I got to pour into my son. And my son right now is 8, and he is one of the most phenomenal children. He's so happy. He's so loving. He's so, I don't know. I don't even have the words to describe him. And he's so smart. He's 8 and he's in the 4th grade. He should be in the 2nd grade, but we bumped him because of his birthday. He reads at a 5th and 6th grade level. He does math at a 5th grade level. And that's all because I was able to sit home and nurture my child for the first most important times of his years. And then after that, I built my own organization. So my schedule was, you know, I could create my own schedule, and then I could hire a nanny and someone to take care of him and do the things that I was doing for him. So it was a wonderful experience. So when she talks about what women give and their nurturing and their ability and how we should want that for families, we should want mothers to stay home. We should want somebody to stay home. But I think the most important person to be at home with children is the mother because of the balance between feminism and masculinity. And again, I believe masculinity, the purpose and the objective of the energy itself is to provide the structure and the framework, and the feminine energy, the woman energy, is to provide the nurturing and the love that flows within that structure, providing a home. And if we have to work 12 to 15 hours, if we got to hustle and bustle just as hard as you, then who's pouring into the home? Who's nurturing it? Who's making it a home? And I think that's what she was saying. And the one dude, oh goodness, I'm going to have to tell you what the other dude said when we returned. Then I'm going to transition into the trumpety dumpety and the DEI and how people were lynching people known as Black after slavery and eating their bodies. So it's going to be a little creepy, but you want to stay tuned to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the person you love to hate. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. More than a quarter of a million people attending the funeral of Pope Francis today in St. Peter's Square. The majority of pilgrims who traveled to the Vatican to pay their respects, along with dignitaries. ABC's Terry Moran is at the Vatican with more.
Leaders came from around the world paying their last respects to the Pope, including President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, former President Joe Biden and former First Lady Jill, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, and Prince William. Pallbearers carried Francis's coffin out of St. Peter's Basilica and into the square where the funeral mass was held. His casket was placed under the balcony where he first appeared as Pope 12 years ago, the gospel laid out on top of his coffin.
Francis broke with tradition, choosing to be buried outside the Vatican, his final resting place, the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Rome. Cardinals now expected to convene in the days to come to begin the process of choosing a new pope. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Packers pick another receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where it's day three of the NFL draft wrapping up today. Last night, the Packers added two more players, an offensive lineman from NC State, Anthony Belton, 6'6", 336 pounds, and a 6'4" wide receiver from TCU, Savion Williams. I asked Williams why his college coach had him line up in the Wildcat, run options, and even threw a touchdown.
I played quarterback in high school. I played quarterback my whole life, so I think them moving me in the backfield doing all that, I think that just came from that, just having the ball in my hand right now and just moving around and doing things like that.
Baseball. Brewers and the Cardinals playing again in St. Louis. Last night, the Crew losing 3-2. NBA playoffs. The Bucks with a win over the Pacers in Milwaukee, 117-101.
I think tonight it was like we came with the right mentality. You know, collectively, everybody was up and into the ball. We didn't just let things happen.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and a high near 61. Clear tonight, 36. Partly sunny with highs in the mid-60s on Sunday. Chance of showers Sunday night, 51. Showers and storms Monday with a high near 77. Showers and storms Monday night, some could be on the strong side.
It's 48 at our studios.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump launched a cryptocurrency meme coin with his likeness on January 17th, just before Inauguration Day. April 21st, with its value plummeting, the company offered top buyers of the coin a dinner with Trump and a personal tour of the White House. That likely violates the Emoluments Clause. The website for the meme coin loudly promotes a dinner with Trump at his Washington Golf Club for the top 220 owners of the coin, and for the top 25 owners, an exclusive reception and special VIP tour. But as of April 24th, any reference to touring the White House was scrubbed from the site. With the value having fallen from $74 to a low of $7.66 on April 17th, the price jumped after the announcement to $14.54 on April 23rd. But it's not the price of the coin that should worry Americans, but that corporations, special interests, or foreign governments could exploit the offer as an opportunity to channel money to the notoriously transactional Trump in exchange for access and favors. Jordan Leibowitz of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington told Mother Jones magazine, "This is about as unethical as you can get, essentially selling off access to the president," unquote. We have a pre-scrubbing graphic and more on the Emoluments Clause at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the entire draft for the Green Bay Packers and also major things ahead for Congress, including the future of Medicaid. Your calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Black Convergence on WMDX. Due to scheduling conflicts this week, Brandy was unable to record a new episode. So let's revisit one of our recent favorites from March. You cannot pour from an empty cup.
MDX, you're tuned into the Black Convergence show. And guess who showed up late as always?
Your favorite cousin, Clyde. Uh-huh.
You're making a bad name for black people, okay?
Listen, black folks... Supposed to start at 10 o'clock. I am actually early.
No.
But they are pushing times back around here, and my schedule's cut a month out. I'm sorry.
This is crazy. This is a crazy. You know
next week, we're going to be on regular time, right?
It's always 9 o'clock. We said that last week, and he sent you.
We've been doing this for 6 months, and we said it 3 weeks ago that it's
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Yes.
No, to be fair, we started at 9, then we moved to 10, then we moved back to 9. Mm-hmm. So really,
then we started on Wednesdays, now we're on Thursdays.
No.
It's Thursday. It's only Wednesdays when all of a sudden.
Just all the excuses.
Child, listen, I'm grown. I got a lot.
You is grown, but let's just talk about the importance of integrity here, okay?
Integrity is showing up. Integrity is showing up. It's better late than nothing.
Integrity is saying, hey, let me acknowledge.
Where is our other co-host?
Oh, see, right. Let's change the subject.
Y'all.
So I just want to demonstrate this is a perfect example why people don't like me and why
people don't love you.
Oh, the people who don't like me, it's okay. I'm fine with not being liked, because if you're liked by everybody, you are not
authentic.
But
you're loved by more than people that you're not like.
And
so,
who cares anyway?
Right, okay.
I don't care. But my whole point is that you see how I went back and forth with him around his integrity? I'm like that with my friends and my staff.
Same.
So folks who are interacting with me sometimes will call me toxic because I'm like, you got to hold yourself accountable. And one of the values of the work that we do is always integrity. You could fall out of integrity because we're human, but once you fall out, you have to be accountable for your fallout. You can't justify it with excuses. So I thought that was a good example because he did it really well. He's the king of excuses and BS. So anyway, you're tuned into the Black Convergence show. And prior to our break, we were talking about relationships and the roles of women. This is Women History Month. Shout out to all my black women, all my women working hard.
Big ups.
We love you. We appreciate you. We see you. And then we had listened to a clip, and this young lady was describing what women bring to the table. And one of the folks that she was engaging in the conversation with said, well, I need my woman to bring 50-50 to the table because the bills are high. And when you're paying rent, you need to have 3 times the amount of rent. I just want to point out that his mindset is in poverty anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So it also reminds me of the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Like, people who grow up in poverty and poor are taught that you have to work hard to succeed. So you have to work 3 or 4 jobs to succeed, whereas rich folks don't teach their kids to work hard. They teach their kids how to navigate through the system, how to make money, how to run businesses, and how to delegate tasks. That's where your power is, being the boss and being able to delegate the work. So anyway, that reminded me of that a little bit, because if you're talking about rent and not mortgage, if you're talking about how to, you know, buy the meal and not how to buy a building, it's a different mindset. So I just want to acknowledge that. But what she said is all women, that your woman, your wife, should be capable of working if there's a hard time, if you hit a hard time. She should be able to get up and make things happen and hold her partner down. But it should not be a prerequisite, because if she's nurturing the children and taking care of home, and then you want her to have the energy to appease you, and then she has to appease the man in the street, Roger, we have a problem. What's your thoughts on that, Cousin Clyde?
I like the fact that, well, for me, if I'm in a relationship and if I'm playing like the feminine role, that's usually what I do. And I'm like an at-home person. Mm-hmm. I cook, I clean. And let's say times are getting hard and bills are going up. For me, it will be a requirement personally. Mm-hmm. Like, my own standard will be, okay, get out there, help.
Yeah.
You only probably got to really help for like 90 days until this inflation go down or until eggs go back to $5.
Okay.
But my man ain't going to never tell me that's like, I have to do
you
it.
Have
that's
to
just
do
a
it.
Natural thing I'm going to do.
I agree.
Right?
I mean, well, men, I've never experienced it. So I'm so I just want to be honest here. So all my life I had to work. All my life I had to fight. I've always been the breadwinner. I've always been the person that brought up the most money, except with my my daughter's father, Ciara's father, Latone, who's no longer with us, sending you know, rest in peace, love you for life. But when I was with him and I had my Ciara, I didn't work. Prior to break, I said the first time I was able to sit down was with Messiah, but I didn't work, but I went to school and I was at UW-Madison studying psychology full time. And
which
that was a full time,
right? Yeah.
It was. And then I was like running, I was part of the ASM, student government, running Black Student Union. I was very involved and still doing community work. So it wasn't like I was sitting at home like I had the privilege to do when Messiah was born, but it was a privilege that was forced upon me. But we talked about that earlier, so we won't repeat that on the Black Conversion Show. So I do believe, like, if a woman is required to work because times are hard, her man should be working twice as hard, three times as hard. You can't ask me to work and you're not holding down another job. You need to go get Uber. So the thing that irritates me is when folks are like, well, I need you to help me. You're a man. I need you to be the doer, which is part of my love language. Like, affirmations are nice. You hugging me, touching me is cool. But I need you to show me. Show me the money. Show me the work ethic. Show me your integrity. And if you don't, then trust is lost. And sometimes love is lost.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, what I've realized is, like, as I travel and as I get older, demographics play a big part in this, right? Because this is a Midwest thing. You go down south, Black women actually don't work as hard as Black women in the Midwest do. And so I think it's our system, right? Systematically, Black men here do work and they can't afford it. Like, we're the second highest inflation when it comes down to rent and mortgage in the country. So I do think that, you know, we got to go back to our roots. We got to go back down south, baby, because I'm telling you, them women down south, they so beautiful. They don't work. They take care of 5-10 kids sometimes. And it's like the man up here, they got high rent. They got gas. They got high
eggs. But you can't be working at the gas station and not holding down a second job or trying to get yourself in a better position and then complaining about your woman not contributing. Right. So, like, as people known as Black, we have to understand our own competence, our own beneficence, and our own ability.
Yeah.
As you think it is. Like, as a man
but
think
it,
is.
But who is that working for? How many, do you know, 10 Black women in Madison that don't work and their boyfriends take care of them or their husbands take care of them?
I do know a couple. I wouldn't
but
say
you know
10. I wouldn't say 10.
Thousands of Black women.
I wouldn't say 10, but I would say there's women who don't work because their men work, or women who choose to work because they want to work. So I think that's a conversation too. And so I just want to transition because you're late and I've been on this topic for a minute. Yeah, you're late.
Apologies.
You know, cousin, you know, on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Look at him. He forgot what to say or do, Luke. You see what happens when you come in late and you don't show up for 5 weeks?
Yeah.
But I do forgive the structure. So I want to move on to the conversation and connect it to our next topic. So as you guys know, the federal government has decided that DEI is no longer a thing that they want to do. And they are using people known as Black and all these other reasons to remove DEI language in contracts, do all kind of things, stop funding for things like Head Start from farmers. Yeah. They're firing veterans. They fired USDA folks and then asked them to come back to work. They fired HUD folks. It's just been a mess. So I want to talk about why, in the context of America, do we always go back to pointing to Black people in order for white people to define their humanity and to define where they're headed, right? So America could redefine themselves without even talking about Black people. We could say, hey, we want to do better at economic empowerment. We want to bring jobs home. But it always has to relate to Black people. And I'm going to help you understand why. Go ahead, Luke. Go ahead and play this quick clip from Dr. Joy DeGroy.
And our children, they don't want any American children to know these stories, to know these truths. They don't want them to know. Muskegee syphilis, that's as far as we go.
Yeah.
And that was child's play compared to what was done. J. Marion Sims, the same man who experimented on all of these women, also accused enslaved Africans, accused them for the fact that the children have what we now know as neonatal tetanus. He called it trimus nascentium. Just made up something, but it's neonatal tetanus. Tetanus derives from manure. The likely cause of it, because of the proximity enslaved Africans were to animal stables, with people like him caused because of where they had to sleep. But he said it was because of their indecency of their parents. So he decided he was going to try to correct it with a shoemaker's awl, and it is a pointed object that they poke holes in leather with. Every child that was born tempted to reshape their heads and had a 100% fatality rate, killed every single child. Imagine what it must have been like. And they had a statue of him until 2018 when Harriet Washington, myself, and others said, you're going to move that from Central Park.
Central Park.
Had J. Marion Sims. It's now at his grave. But it stood there until 2018. He was a monster. They don't want to...
So this, the story, Dr. Georgia Gray, for folks who don't know her, you need to look her up. She is the author of Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. She is a psychiatrist. She has plenty of the credentials that you guys require people to have. So look her up and... listening to her, my heart started racing and I felt really sad. The grief was real for me because think about it, just think about it. So during slavery and after slavery, people known as Black was forced to sleep with animals. And because you were forced to sleep in the same shed or the same ground as animals, you got diseases and bacteria from said animals. So babies were being born with this bacteria. And this white dude came around and said, you know what? It's because they're Black and something's wrong with their brain and their function. So in order to change them and to fix these animals, these things, which they were referring to Black people, they took the babies. So I just want to be clear what she says. They took the babies and took this sharp object that they used to push holes in belts, like thick leather belts, and put it in the back of their skulls and then cracked it and hit the back of the baby's head. And there's 100% fatality rate. And his thing was like, oh, we're going to fix these Black people. And then they made a statue of him. And then they honored him. And then they wrote books about all his amazing work in medicine. So first of all, when he wrote, just like our President Jefferson, is that his name, President Jefferson, right?
That's Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson. That was his name. Just like him, he wrote about this and then he put in writing that Black people brains were different. Our skulls were shaped differently. We wasn't human is basically what they said. And then they basically used that. And I said President Thomas Jefferson because he did the same thing in his memoirs. He talked about basically he wasn't accountable for raping women or sleeping with Black women who he enslaved. Mm-hmm. He had lots of babies by them.
Yeah.
But he wrote in his memoirs basically, hey, you know, even though, you know, they... you know, experience injury, they didn't feel pain. Because Black people don't feel pain. They don't feel grief. They don't have emotions. And even though these folks were hurt, these women were hurt, but they were not hurt. They didn't feel anything. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about what I did because they're not actual humans. They're not human. So I produced these kids with these women, but they're not humans. We're just going to use them for labor. So that was your president, Thomas Jefferson. So the point that I'm making here on the Black Conversion Show is in order for white people to define themselves as the prototype for humanity, they had to compare themselves to someone else. They had to point their finger and have an example of this is what we're not and this is what we are. But just what's like happening right now in the Trumpity-Dumpity era, you have to be able to point to something and say, though something's wrong with those people and we're right. So they right now under Trumpity-Dumpity, people are really holding on to this kind of national Christian movement, right? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did back then. We're Christian. We're good people. And you know, they're the bad people. They're the animals. And it's okay that we crack their skulls open. It's okay that we lynch them. And not only, and you'll hear a clip when we get back, but not only were people known as Black lynched at ridiculous rates after slavery, their bodies was burnt, babies were cut from the stomach, pieces of their body parts, the ears, the nose, the lips,
were made into clothing.
Were made into leather, and they cut them off and put them in their windowsills, put them on their kind of like a deer head. Like,
and
look
those
what
body
I did.
Parts still roam around America to this day in white families.
Yes, and they did like lynching parties where their kids would dress up in suits and their babies would come and watch these bodies burn as they celebrated, clapped, and all of these things. And I want to tell you the importance of that as it relates to what's happening today. And I'm going to connect the dots for you when we get back because it's important for us to understand why our federal government and Trumpity Dumpities and folks who believe in Confederism or back to the, you know, because Trump says we're not going to be woke anymore. And I wore my woke earrings today just so y'all know that we are still awoke and we're not falling asleep, right? So I want y'all to understand in order for everything to continue to be what it is, we have to connect to something inferior. And in the context of America, Black people are defined as inferior, and it started in writing in medical history. We're going to return. I'm going to tell you more about it here on the Black Conversion Show. Don't call Civic Media. They know me. They know what I'm on. Okay. Here on the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. And
your favorite cousin, Clyde.
He finally remembered what to do. So hopefully he shows up on time next week and he'll get it right. Stay tuned. There's more to come.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, Gordy. How you doing?
Oh, Arthur. Great. Great to see you. What are you doing in the studio?
Well, I need to talk to you about doing a commercial.
Okay. Well, you know, to get a commercial on the air here, you just go down to the sales department. It's right next to the bathroom.
I don't think you understand.
Oh, I understand plenty. You salespeople drink a lot of coffee. That's why the bathroom's right there.
Right. But I need to have you make a commercial about commercials.
Wait. A commercial about a commercial? I don't follow.
I want to tell potential business owners out there how to contact me to get a commercial on WMDX.
Okay, I get it. Okay, let's come up with something. Let's see, business folks can contact you directly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. What's the email, huh?
Okay, so it's sales@WMDXradio.com.
Oh, wait, run that by me again.
sales@WMDXradio.com. So we could put all that together and get into a commercial, get on the air soon?
Arthur, my friend, I think we just did.
Advertise on WMDX Radio. Email Arthur, sales@WMDXradio.com.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Black Convergence on WMDX. Due to scheduling conflicts this week, Brandi was unable to record a new episode. So let's revisit one of our recent favorites from March. You cannot pour from an empty cup.
Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
So prior to break, we were talking about why or how or why every time we want to change America or go to a different direction, we use Black people as the excuse, or at least we refer to us somehow, some way, because that's what DEI is. It's attack on Black people. So prior to the break, I was just saying, hey, this is why, because we define, people known as white have defined themselves, whether you're conscious of it or not, by defining who Black people are and making them into animals or less than human, so you can just suppose to yourself to it. Because just for clarity, we live in the dimension of relativity. And the dimension of relativity means that in order for one thing to be defined, it has to be defined by something else. So for you to be known as great, you literally have to point to someone else and say, they're not great. I'm great. And this is why. So that's why white people were able to become the prototype of humanity across the globe. This isn't just a United States thing. That's why your boy Trump is doing these AI videos of him and his golden statue in Gaza, which is crazy when you think about it. So anyway, getting back to it. After slavery, there was lynching. White people were eating Black people, literally making us into animals, right? And then saying out loud, we're Christians, we love God, we love Jesus.
Yeah.
And the reason they were able to do that, why do you think they were able to do that? Still be like the Christian model while they're killing, beating, eating people, and busting babies' skulls wide open.
Power.
But where did that come from, though?
They stole it.
They stole it. And they suffer from what we call cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Luke, are you familiar with cognitive dissonance?
Mm-hmm.
What is it for you?
For me, it's when you say that you support one thing, mm-hmm. like Christian values mm-hmm. of feeding the poor,
yes.
or helping the needy, mm-hmm. and then you elect politicians that don't do those things.
Right.
When your actions are tangibly different mm-hmm. than what you're saying your beliefs are.
Yeah, you're out of integrity, right?
Yeah.
And you can, and most people justify themselves being out of integrity by like saying, oh, I smoke cigarettes, but I'm healthy. But because I'm stressed, I'm justified because I'm stressed. That's like cognitive dissonance. And white people get to say, I'm still a Christian, even though we kill and we enslave and we oppress people, because they're less than. And if they don't get what we have, democracy and our white Jesus, they won't never be human. So we need to humanize them. So that justifies us doing what we're doing. So that's what cognitive dissonance is. And that's what's happening right now in our world. And what they're trying to do is get back to that place where they're like, mega, we're the white people. You need to save our race. And Elon Musk, J.D. Vance, and Trump has been saying it very clear on most of their interviews that we need to maintain our culture. What they're basically saying is that white people need to maintain their
whiteness.
Bloodline yeah. of whiteness. And just for you know, like, whiteness is a recessive gene. So when you mix it with blackness or anything darker, you can get wiped out. But it also happened in indigenous lands. When white folks came, they colonized. When you see indigenous people today, they look white. They're like, I'm indigenous. Yeah. I'm a Cherokee. I be thinking like, no, you're not. Maybe your great-great-great-grandma was, but that Cherokee is about 0.2%. Yeah. And it's hard to identify them because they used to be as dark as me. But right now when I show up and they be like, well, I know what oppression is, I'm like, everywhere you go, girl, you get identified as white. You get proximity to whiteness. You get treated with whiteness. You got privilege. We're not going to get into that conversation right now about colorism because y'all going to be really cussing me out. But I wanted you to know that the reason that the world is able to, and the United States is able to function the way it's functioning, is because it was written down in the books that black people are animals, and y'all still believe it.
It's still in the Constitution.
You believe it. So I just want you to be aware of a couple things here as it relates to DEI and the federal, what's happening in our federal government. There are some words that the federal government has now banned. So you cannot use it in any contracts, on any website, on any application. So the student loans, anything, you cannot use these words. Activism, at risk, anti-racism, BIPOC, biological male, black, Latinx, DEI, climate crisis, diversity, disability. You can't use the word hate, speech, feminism, cultural heritage, LGBTQ. You can't say it. Intersectionality, multicultural prejudice. You can't even say pronouns. So weird, but you can't say the word pronouns. Racial inequality, social justice, social economics, they or them. You can no longer use that. And you can't use the word transgender or systemic. All banned by our federal government. So in order for them to put everybody back to sleep, because that's what Trump says, you guys are woke, and he said, no woke, no more, right? He wants to erase words from the English language. He really thinks he's Putin.
Yeah. Crazy.
Putin.
Insane.
Putin.
It's insane.
Putin.
And it's crazy because we, like you said, we as the people can stand up against this and get rid of this, right? But it's like we're so powerless.
We act powerless.
We don't know how to.
Luke, go ahead and play that last clip for me. It's like less than a minute. Because it's an illusion of white people, because y'all think you're in danger, but you're not in danger. It's just an illusion. So then you get on the board of this BS. Vote for Trump. He's trying to bring our jobs back while we over the stock market is crashing and HELL is literally breaking out. Here's the statistics that I need white people to know. Go ahead, Luke.
To show you some basic statistics from 2019. So the presidency and vice presidency, 100% white. The U.S. Senate, 91% white. I just have to point out again, the most diverse Congress we've ever had. The House of Representatives, 73% white. The current cabinet, 89% white. The governors, 98% white. Mayors, 88% white. Military advisors, just think about who we go to war with. 100% white. Federal judges, 88% white. Police officers, 80% white. The people who decide which TV shows we see, 90-something percent
white. You can turn it off, Luke. So my point of letting you hear Dr. Robin, what's her name? Dr. Robin DeAnthony?
D'Angelo.
I'm always making up names, Deanna. She wrote the book White Fragility. And she's basically saying, like, white people are afraid that they're losing ground and losing power, but you still control everything. So the illusion of nationalism, the illusion that white people need to grasp on to their race and their power is straight BS. But they can use it. Trump can use it and take you for every dollar that you have and then put you in the poorhouse and then put you against those who are most vulnerable and say, we did this for patriotism or something, or, you know, for nationality. We needed to subjugate you, white woman, because we needed to protect the white blood. We needed to subjugate you, white farmer in rural areas, because we need to subjugate you, veterans, because we needed to protect ourselves from these Negroes, from the Latinx. Like, come on, y'all, wake up.
But just imagine, if non white people did that. Like, we actually need to do that, right? Like,
with what power?
We need to, right. But I think the attitude to save ourselves and the attitude to put ourselves first, we need to start doing that.
I agree. Like, I agree. Black people, do not come running. This is your time to rest. This is not your fight. What's happening in our country right now is a white man's fight.
We need to gather in our own private spaces.
It's time for y'all to rest. It's time for us to strategize. It's time for us to start growing our food. It's not time for you to be showing up for the brown people who showed up against you on election day.
Yeah.
It's not time for you to be out here protesting. When you know it's time, you will know. Don't worry about them freeing the dude who killed Floyd. It's not going to happen. So anyway, This is the Black Conversion Show. Very controversial, very uncomfortable show. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate you listening and just, you know, continue to listen because next week is going to be off the chain. And remember, it is my birthday month. Brandi
Happy
Gracie
birthday.
On 92.7 FM. See you next week.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to Amy Horak with the Horticultural Report from David J. Frank.
And will AG Pam Bondi investigate John and Gordy for spreading true anti-mega conspiracies?
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with Cintas. They make sure your AEDs are up to date, your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected, your floor mats are cleaned and delivered, and your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with the Cintas Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Pope Francis's body has been buried after the funeral and procession through the streets of Rome. It's St. Mary Major outside the Vatican, which is unusual. No word when cardinals will get together to choose a new pope. Before attending the funeral, President Trump sat down for a face-to-face meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky at the Vatican. ABC's James Longman's there.
This is the first time since Zelensky was in the Oval Office, and of course that meeting that went slightly off the rails with President Trump. The United States has said that that meeting went well.
An Israeli airstrike in Gaza City today killed 10 people, half of them children, say local health officials. Iran's government-controlled media says a explosion in the port city of Bandar Abbas has killed several people and injured more than 700 others. ABC's Marcus Moore.
Video shared on social media showed thick black smoke billowing from the port. Hospitals reported receiving hundreds of patients. It's unclear what caused the explosion.
Our Marcus Moore, this is ABC News.